What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. And as you can see, my guest joining me today, unfortunately, we lost him this past episode, but he's here to talk to me today. Callum, what's going on, man?
What's good? What's good? Happy to be here. Happy to finally get the interview underway.
Oh, yeah. How are you taking it all in now that it's all kind of come to an end? Are you feeling disappointed? What are like your feelings now seeing it back?
It's, you know, ever since it happened, I think for a long time, it was the first time, my first time I've ever been down in elimination. It took me a while to get over it. I can't lie, at least like a month or so, I was pretty gutted. And, you know, you kind of sit there overanalyzing in like, you know, where you went wrong, why I could have just done this, could have just done that. But I think ultimately what it made me realize is that when you go in the challenge, you just literally have to expect nothing. And expect at any moment you could go into elimination ring, and once you accept it, then kind of like the nerves kind of go.
Did you feel like your time on the Challenge UK prepared you at all for this? Because I think like what you guys only filmed that for 2 weeks or something like that, right? Like it wasn't as much of a filming process as this.
Yeah, no, it definitely prepared me, you know. But it's again, I think like you can never be prepared for the atmosphere, obviously. In the UK challenge, every single person that was in the challenge was brand new. So there was no like pre-connotated like alliances. It was literally whoever you liked, that's who's going to be like, you know, that's who's going to be in your alliance. Whereas, you know, I'm coming into the USA one or the world, whatever you want to call it, you know, we've got Australia, we've got people that have done four seasons, people that have one season. Everybody's still relatively new, but there was a lot of premeditated alliances going on, which I didn't expect.
Yeah. How much did you know about the challenge? Because I know you did also did Peak of Love too, and a lot of like challengers were on that one. So did you know like a lot about, you know, the show that you were stepping onto before
going? I've definitely watched my fair share. However, I didn't know the format was Battle for a New Champion. Hmm. I honestly thought I was going to be going in there with the likes of Bananas, with the likes of CT, and, you know, all the other challenge greats, to be honest. So I was already, it was kind of a bonus when I got there and I seen quite a lot of new faces, and I was like, okay, so I'm gonna make it past 2 weeks then, because obviously I've seen how the challenge works. And, you know, I know that if you're a newbie, you are straight away, everybody's gunning for you. And for me as a person, that's kind of like a hard concept to grasp, because no matter any situation I've ever been put into, whether it's shows or anything like that, like I'm a likable person. I get on with everybody, you know. I was kind of analyzing in my head, how is this going to work when everyone's going to hate you, even though you've done nothing wrong?
Listen, man, you had me won over when you made your line about the Braveheart when Huey was giving his nomination speech.
The thing is, what you don't understand is that was cut short. The man was there for about 10 minutes. Two lungs, one heart, I'll fight any man, any place, anywhere. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, bro, I think, you know, with not having a veteran presence on this season, like a Bananas or, you know, whoever it may be, we've definitely seen with, like, the nomination, you know, deliberations, that I feel like they've been a lot more chaotic than if there would have been, like, a, you know, veteran piece to kind of, like, guide the voting and, like, the conversations, man. But I think that's what's produced the best
For sure
television thus far
is I called it the deliberation disease or whatever you want to call it, because I'm not even joking. It was like people just turned into panicking balls of mush as soon as anybody was like, you know, the whispers start around the house that it's going to be so-and-so, it's going to be them. And then when you get there, it's like that person has just been building it up, and when they get down to the deliberation, they just go and just start talking shit basically and just dig their hole so big to them. I was like, right, well, may as well not mention anybody else, because you've just dug your own grave there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned about, obviously, you know, being likable on the show and whatnot. Did you, like, you know, younger Callum, let's just say, did you envision for yourself, like, television something I feel like I want to do when I'm, you know, growing up, or like where was your head at?
Yeah, so I did a drama, like a course at a drama school. So, you know, television, acting in general was always something I was like going that towards that direction. And then, you know, as things started falling into place, like it just television fell on my doorstep, and it's kind of like just the route that I went for. I've enjoyed every second of it, so I'm always like been good at making friends.
You're a play kid in school?
Play kid, yeah. I'm an everything. The thing is for me, like I'm an onion. You know, I went to drama school. I'm covered head to toe in tattoos. I do boxing. Like, I'm literally like a bit of everything to form me. So it's kind of like I'm a well-rounded person. I can get on with everyone.
Bro, did you expect, like, when the show came out, that face tattoos would become, like, a topic of discussion here? Because, holy shit.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know this was a thing. Obviously, I keep seeing it on, like, Twitter and stuff, and a lot of Michelle jokes and face tattoos, and then I've seen some of the other podcasts talking about it as well. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, because, like, Emmanuel had already done, like, he has face tattoos as well, and he had already done a challenge, but it felt like his tattoos were never made mention. And then, like, once you come on the show, then, like, there a correlation gets drawn. So I don't know, man.
Maybe yeah, apparently, tattoos and red flags are the correlation at the moment.
What was your, like, your upbringing like, though? Because, you know, we got to see, like, a little bit of a glimpse of it this past episode. You know, we obviously saw a show of photos of you with, I believe it was your mother. What was kind of, like, your upbringing like? Were you always growing up in the UK?
Growing up with a single mom raised by my stepdad since I was like 3 years old. I lived a very like spoiled life, like, but not without me kind of like realizing as a young kid, you know, when you want this and you want that and you point this and you want a point that, like, you know, I was spoiled as hell, but I never really realized because my family don't come from money like that. You know, we're all working class family, you know, everyone worked for every penny they had. And to know that, like, looking back, and seeing everything that my mom had done to make sure that I never knew we was like in maybe any financial or anything like that. Like, you know, it was a hard thing to grasp. So that was the reason why I was there, you know, always trying to give back to your family and stuff like that. And
do you feel like that prepared you for going on to TV? Sort of what you had to kind of, you know, you were almost like you were kind of with your upbringing, it prepared you to step into like more of an environment like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know what it is, like, I can't really fault many people in the house. Like, you know, everyone ultimately is everyone knows there's a background that you're always gonna have to snake someone. But I think I was with a good group of people, you know, my upbringing's been really good. So I feel like it's always gonna prepare you for the likes of anyone. I went to drama school. Walking to drama school, that will prepare you for the likes of anyone because the characters in there are next level. So doing that alone will teach you how to, like, make friendships anywhere.
Yeah. And so your first show you obviously did was Ibiza Weekender, right? What is that, like a party show? What was the basis of that show?
So I just finished university, and basically the basis is that you go to Ibiza and you party and you look after people that come into this hotel, you take them out for a good time, whatever that may be. Like, you know, you just gotta make sure you get 5 stars at the end of the trip.
Okay, so it's kind of like a it's like a social atmosphere type of show, but like there's a almost like a prize at the end, sort of.
Nah, there's no prize. It's just like, you know, you're running a hotel. You get guests that come in a weekend. It's in the biggest party location in Europe. So, you know, you come, you welcome them, you take them to their rooms, you go out partying with them. You just got to make sure they're having a good time, really. And obviously during that, there's like guest relationships, work colleague relationships, and, you know, lots of drama.
What was the process like with getting on that? Were you sought out, or did you like go to a like an audition or something?
No, so like they messaged me on Instagram one day and it was like, hi, would you be interested? I was 22 at the time, bearing in mind I just finished university after like 2 weeks, and I was like they called me, they was like, hi Callum, we was like, we've been watching you on social media for quite a while. You seem like the sort of person that would like to come and have fun in Ibiza. We'll pay you, you know, it'd be good money. You'd be around lots of girls and you'd be drinking, having fun in the sun. I was like, where do I sign? Like, you know what I mean? So as a 22-year-old young man, like, there's nothing more you can really ask for in life than being able to go to somewhere for 5 weeks and party.
No, dude, at that age, that's got to feel like your eyes turn this big when you hear something like that.
For sure.
Like,
for
anybody would jump at that opportunity.
Yeah.
Did you have like any, you know, because obviously those are reality shows, so is the challenge technically. Did you have like any, you know, reality shows in particular that like piqued your interest before going on to TV? Like, because I know there's, you know, there's Jersey Shore, there's other sort of things.
Jersey Shore was the one. Jersey Shore was the one. That was, Jersey Shore to me was like the OG OG reality TV. That was the one that, like, I remember, like, I was 15 or something when this came out, and I remember just watching all the, like, the Jersey Shore boys and getting their gym tan laundries, and I was like, this is it. I was like, these are the guys. That was like my first.
I grew up in the area, bro, where that first, like, hit, like the first wave, like first season one. It was like huge, bro.
What's it called again? Long Beach, is it? Am I right? No.
Seaside.
Yeah. That's funny because like Michelle's actually got like I think their family live there. So I was like, that's the league.
Yeah.
That's the
league. Yeah, she's a Jersey girl.
That's the one.
Yeah, you mentioned about boxing too. Obviously, to be a boxer, there's a certain level of training you got to have. Like, obviously, you know, a big part of that's like cardio, and a large part of the challenge is cardio. So did you feel like, you know, with your boxing background, that prepared you in any way to do the challenges on this show?
Yeah, 100%. So, like, you know, I was training for a fight before I went in there. So I just had a fight before I went in there. So I was pretty much in peak physical condition sort of thing. You know, I was in good shape. I knew that I was going to be, when it comes to fitness and when it comes to like the physical aspect, like I knew I was going to be up there with one of the best in there. That was always going to be a given, but you know, there's other aspects of the game that you have to watch out. And the thing is, the social, I was doing so damn good. No, let's just be real here.
Before you got called in, man, you were kind of sitting pretty, like as far as like the, you had the UK
social rankings. I was not really going to be getting voted in. I probably would have never got the bottom. I was in pretty good nick until the flipping stupid axe ball got pulled out and it all just went tits up.
Well, I don't know if you heard this, bro, but apparently the whole real reason why Devin chose you is because Jessica told him to. Did you hear that by any chance?
I didn't hear that, but it makes sense.
Because I think they were seeing each other at the time, and like before Devin came in as a mercenary, she told him like, "Oh, go if you get the chance, go call Callum out. He was rude to me in my deliberation."
See, that's all starting to make sense, to be honest, because I didn't really like Jess, to be perfectly honest. I thought she was so fake, but I didn't really give her a hard time, but like I would just always call out her bullshit. Like she was just doing a lot of snaky moves. Like I think what Jess didn't realize is like, do you know, in the first couple of weeks in the house, like there's no really need to be making any super big moves yet because it's just like everyone's still getting to work each other out. So she was just doing the most. She was whispering in everyone's ear this and that, and then she was just doing too much. And I was like, and then she really, in her deliberation, she really just killed herself on that one. She was just like saying, I'm just here to make sure everybody can get their money. I don't even want, in fact, you know what, I would give my whole money to charity. That's what I'm doing. Charity is the, like, she just started waffling a load of shit. So
did you call her out after that, like during, like, did we not see anything?
Nothing gets to get seen, but like Jessica was just a bit of like a laugh. Like she was a joke, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
How does that like make you feel to hear that though? Like when you know that like you possibly could have not been called out had it not been for somebody kind of influencing Devin's decision. Does that like?
Well, do you know what it was? It's that one thing I've learned is after having my first elimination to always be prepared. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, I've heard jokes about people saying I was literally there in my sweatpants chilling, not ready to go in. And I think the shock of it all happening by me not being so ill prepared to go into elimination was also like threw me off. I was too comfy. I was sitting too comfy, chilling, thinking this is all good. This is all good. I was supposed to be going to hospital that night. Bearing in mind, 12 o'clock, I was going into hospital because I had complete deaf in this ear.
From one of the challenges?
An ear infection from one of the challenges. I'd not been able to hear anything for 5 days. It was the weirdest scenario ever. Been in and out of the doctors, which they don't show. Trying to get my ear fixed. I get told I had to go to see an ear specialist, so like 2 hours away. It was a crazy situation. So Ash had already been at the hospital. I was complaining why I wasn't. They said, listen, just go to tonight's elimination, then we'll take you after. I said, sweet, no problem. Let me put my sweatpants on. I've got a long night ahead. Little did, and then... boom, Callum's getting chose. My ears, I'm just like, you know, like,
damn, I can't even hear people trying to help you from yelling up top.
Yeah, like I've been into boxing matches where I'm surrounded by crowds of like 10, 20,000 people and not been, I felt the pressure to go in against Devin in elimination. Like, make it make sense.
Damn, bro. Yeah, bro. I would have been, if I was in sweats and a hoodie, I'd have been checked out if anybody called me down and be like, bro, I wouldn't have played a game of Connect Four, let alone gotten to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I did try to kick off about it the best I could because I was pissed. I was shocked. I was pissed. I was panicking. And that was the truth because I was ill-prepared. And even when I got pissed off, they was not having it. They was like, well, listen, it is what it is. Go out there and get it done or go home and forfeit. I'm like, I ain't forfeiting shit. Let me go.
Do they have like clothes like on standby ready for you to change into, or how long of a process?
Oh, they had the clothes there ready. Like, I think they had everyone's, but yeah.
Bro, because there's been seasons in the past where something similar like that's happened and they've like made people compete in their like street clothes. Like,
yeah, okay.
That's happened before. Actually, a couple seasons before that, Devin came in as a mercenary for that one too. And somebody that wasn't supposed to be going in ended up having to go in, and they were like literally in jeans and a fucking jacket having to like go.
Yeah,
in.
No, it's not ideal. And the thing is, like, that was my main thing after like the days and weeks after. I was just thinking of all the things I could have done, all the things I could have said. I could have, because I've seen Devin where he starts handing out like, you know, the little safe cards where it's like, yeah, okay, listen, for this one we're gonna vote. I said, why would I not just say to Devin, I know you're a man who likes to do business, let's make a deal. If I make it onto 40, I've got your back for the first five eliminations, say no more. And that little thing like that, he would have respected it, and I would have been clean. I would have been sweet. I could have said anything, but I just thought, I'm gonna let Michelle do the graph for me, and it didn't work.
Yeah, bro, I mean, it cut it close. I think you know, had Jessica not told Devin, you probably been safe, and would probably been, I feel like he would have chose like maybe James or something. If like,
I don't know, I feel like he was ultimately probably always going to choose me just because of the way that I look. I feel like I look like a person he wouldn't get on with. However, we went out together that night, we went out together the next night, we drank beers, we had food together, and he was like, fuck, no, like, I really wish I didn't choose you. I was like, I wish you didn't choose me too, asshole.
Yeah, because I know like usually the eliminated people, like they go, like they, I think they take you to a hotel or whatever, and like you're still in like the city or the country for a few days before they sent. So that was the situation, you and him.
Yeah, that was the situation. And I wanted to hate on the guy, but what can I really do? He just chose, it is what it is. Like, you know, he's a good guy. We had a few jokes, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, you know, when you watch these things, and like, obviously, because you filmed it months before, you don't see everything that people are saying, like, behind your back, like in like those interviews and stuff. And I know, like, one that I think caught your attention the most was like Aesop, because I remember the one episode where it showed him saying that like he was Geppetto and you were Pinocchio or something like that.
God forbid Aesop ever thought that he could get one over on me. Let me just explain the situation. And if you think that I'm like, if you think I've got it wrong or he's got it wrong, then explain this. Like, so this is for me. Yeah. Now, Aesop at this point, when we had this conversation, he'd already been down into elimination once. Yeah, he got chosen. Now, whether you guys know this or not, right, I'll just let you know, people, all they do in that house is talk all day, talk, and nobody can keep a damn secret. So what happens is, before someone goes down into elimination or before somebody goes down into deliberation, 99% of people in the house already know which way we're most likely to go. They know it. Like, everybody knows that. Like, it's pretty much, it's gonna be him, it's gonna be her, it's gonna be him. So Aesop seemed to think that he was part of, in his head, he was part of some special secret four-person alliance, yeah? Now, I'm trying to tell him, Aesop, you might think you got your back covered in here, but you haven't. Because if you had, you wouldn't have been down into that elimination, because your people that you think have got your back would have not let that happen.
Right.
This guy thinks he's got some secret codes, but like, he's already been into elimination, so how did they not stop that if you had a code? That's what I'm telling him, is listen, you are bottom of your food chain. Wherever you are, you're at the bottom. Come with us and you might make a decent place in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, because what have you got to lose? You've already been in elimination. So he's there somehow thinking he's puppet mastering me, but I don't know how he could ever think that, because he'd already been in elimination.
Well, in all fairness, it was Corey that kind of sent him down to elimination, in all fairness. But, like, everybody kind of was ready to jump on the bandwagon anyway, like,
that's the thing, though. Like, if somebody's, like, got in their mind which way they're going to go, people would rather save themselves and just jump on the bandwagon. So no one's really going to go against the grain.
Right. Like, I'm sure, you know, if his name was said in deliberation, like, his group of people, there's no guarantee they would have like went to bat for him to like save him. They probably would have joined the, you know.
No, they just join and everyone go, oh, well, listen, I'm going to go with the house. I don't want to like stir anything up here, you know.
Like there's probably one person that I feel like would not, and it's probably Jay. Other than that, I feel like everybody would have followed suit.
Jay would have done it as well.
Yeah, you really think so? They're like making music and stuff together on the side.
What you got to think is like, ultimately, this is a one-person game. Really, truly, it's a one-person game. And I think there's a lot of players in there that would like to think that they're a community player, which is what I call it. I call myself a community player because, for me, I just like to make it to the final. Mm-hmm. And then once we get there, it's all guns blaze. If I have a group, I would like communally the group to make it there, whereas some people have got solo individual mindset, which means they just want to win it. Mm. They don't give a fuck what they got to do to get there, who they got to backstab, which is why, you know, people found themselves getting in a little bit of trouble when they had too many secret things going on.
Right. Well, listen, man, now we got to get into the meat and potatoes of this conversation because, oh, man. We obviously know, like, the big storyline talking point coming out of this show is obviously, you know, your and, you know, Michelle's situation. I guess, like, my first question here would be, where do you stand today as far as, like, are you in a relationship of any kind? Just, like, not even just with her, but, like, just in general? Like, the girl that you were seeing back then?
Me and Michelle, we're good friends. We're good friends. You know, we speak on a regular basis. Like, there's no animosity there, no hard feelings. There was, at some point, there was, like, you know, strong conversations that got had. But ultimately, we both respect the time that we had whilst we was in there. Because you got to understand, it's a crazy house in there. Mm. And to have found, you know, some form of bond with somebody that we did, you know, it's it was good to have in there, because otherwise, you know, you lose your mind. And I think ultimately we both just respect that we had that thing. And you know.
What happened with the other girl? Did you end things with her once you got back, or what did that process look like?
You know what it is, like, respectfully to you, and I understand that this is your podcast and I've got a question, you know, I got my own stuff going on. I don't really want to bring her into the situation. No, yeah, you know, she's already, you know, it's just challenge and everything else.
No worries.
Out of respect, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm not trying to push or anything. I was just...
But you can see there, like, let you know, people on the challenge that think I'm some next level, like, crazy person, like, you got to understand that, like, these motherfuckers are out to get me. I went from the start, yeah. People in the house, let's just say, people was in the relationships, not just me. There was a lot of people that had things going on back home, yeah. Now, everybody that went in there goes in there going, nah, I'm single. I went in there from the start and I said, listen, there is something going on back home. You know, I'm just going to put that out. I put it out there to everybody. Some of these guys in there didn't even say shit and just cracked on. At least I tried to be like, you know.
So do you feel like you weren't with how it's been portrayed, you haven't been given
they tried making it 10 times worse by placing like a call when the call happened like this far, when they put it at the start, like they tried to paint my picture however they wanted to, but it is what it is, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it kind of feels like, obviously, like, you know, without getting bogged down on two other details or involving like other people, it seems like, obviously, like, there's been other shit that's happened, but it seems like only you're getting like the you know, brunt of whatever narrative.
Well, I'm just the guy on that can blend it, so it is what it is.
Yeah, I feel it. Was there anything else though? Like, obviously we spoke already about the Aesop thing, but as far as like anybody else, than any other,
yeah, like, I think that it's really, you know, because I had like some really good friendships in there, like made super close with Emmanuel, super close with Jay, which, even though he's not said one nice word about me apart from me being good looking, the little shit, do you know what I mean? Like, that relationship was just, it never even happened, you know. But I think that it's what you gotta think is, we're cramming, I don't know if it's like 24 hours, it might be like 48 hours worth of filming gets crammed into 1 hour. So you can't really blame them for what does get shown. They're trying to make a show. They can't show some relationships. Some they can show more than others. You just have to go with the flow and let it happen. Nerisse, she made me laugh in the last one because she seems like she was like firing a lot of shots at me to get me out. But the thing with, and I noticed it. Did you see that I clocked her?
Yeah.
I clocked her that she was, I clocked that there was some weird energy. And it was like with me and Narice, it's like face to face when we're together and having banter and like it's just chit chat. Like we get on like a house on fire. Like we're like super cool. The girl, like I love her to bits. Like she's good energy. And then, but like I knew I wasn't making it into her
like a media click.
Nah, like I knew I wasn't making it into her like solid friendship group. I knew she was already like patterned up before she went in there. So I knew that eventually she was going to start coming for me. I started to feel it. So I started to be like, okay, I need to shift this somewhere, put this there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's coming up next for you? Any fights coming up that you'd like to talk about or anything?
Yeah, I got a fight coming up in February. Fight coming up in February, so you know, back into training. Obviously, it's going to be hard over Christmas because you know, Christmas dinner and the yorks puddings and the alcohol. But...
You're telling me, bro. I'm out here in New York, New Jersey, bro. Fucking ask me what Christmas is like over here with food.
Exactly, Jesus. Exactly. You go double ham, double X.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Don't even get me started, bro. I'm still recovering from Thanksgiving over here.
I hear that. I've had a rough weekend too, and I'm just waiting for the phone call now, bro. I'm just waiting for the phone call. One. Downstairs, if I took my laptop right now, you'd be able to see chess. I've got about 40 apps on my phone for the quizzes and puzzles. Obviously, I'm always fit, so I'm ready to go again.
Well, I look forward.
And to be honest, I would like, I know, like, I don't want them to see this and start coming for me. This get made into a clip, but I really would love to do like new gen versus old gen. Just go to war and have it out. Like, I think it would be so cool.
Well, I'll put that out into the universe, bro, and it might come
back.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it. I'm hoping it comes.
Listen, I think like with the big number, with it being 40 and stuff, I know like Survivor's done something similar where they kind of did like a little bit of a legacy season where they bring all these people back and kind of mix a little bit of new and old. I think that that's a distinct possibility here with Challenge 40, and I think a lot of people would love to see that. So,
me too.
All right. Well, it was a fun time speaking with you today, sir, and I hope that we see you again. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you for having me, brother. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy, man.
Peace out, everybody.